Our text for today is the verse number 34 of Psalm number 37. Let me just read that verse with you again. It says, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it." Now, Psalm 37 was penned by David in the latter years of his life. You see that to be so from what he says there in verse 25, the beginning of the verse. He says, "I have been young and now am old." And in the psalm, David, he deals with a problem that continually confronts the people of God. And that problem is the seeming prosperity of the wicked, while at the same time, God's people, their lot often been one of difficulty and of hardship. And in dealing with this problem, you'll see that David counsels the believer not to be consumed with care over the rise of the evildoer. Look at what he says in the middle of verse 7. He says, "Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his ways, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." He also tells the believer that the Lord is aware of his situation and of the evil days in which he lives. Look at the beginning of verse 18. He says, "The Lord knoweth the days of the upright." Then he also tells the believer that no matter how evil the day, the Lord will not forsake his people. And David testified of that in his own life. At the end of verse 25, he says, "Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." David then goes on and he counsels God's people to go on living for the Lord, no matter how dark their day may be. And this he does in the words of our text today in verse number 34, where he says, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it." Now, dear people of God, this is God's word for you and I today. Yes, we live in a very ungodly world. Wickedness is on the increase in every land, every hand. You see that even more and more in our own land and in our own province. I think especially this year of the rise of sodomy in our land. It's really like an epidemic that is engulfing our land, and it's especially targeting the young people. And dear people, sodomy is not an alternative lifestyle. It is a sinful lifestyle, something that is contrary to God's order and God's word and God's teaching. The other day I happened to be down in Yearly Town, and I was walking down Hill Street, and I was grieved. From every post in the street and all across that street are draped the flags that promote sodomy. And there's a town shaking its fist at God, saying we don't want the rule of the order of God. And my, it is an epidemic in our land and in our nation. Think of also the awful push for abortion in our society. And people, despite what the media or politicians may say, abortion is not the termination of a child in the mother's womb. Abortion is the murder, the killing of a young child, of the unborn child in their mother's womb. Never you forget that, dear people. Think also of the increasing desecration of the Lord's Day in our land. More and more people are forsaking the house of God on the Lord's Day. Little time for the things of God, little time for the day of God. Think of the increase of couples living together in sin outside of the union, the lawful union of marriage. Our society is full of it. It is accepted as the norm. Let me say, young people especially, it is only lawful for a man and woman to live together within the bonds of lawful marriage. That is God's order. That is God's way. Think also of the increase of drug addiction. It is everywhere in our land. Gambling, drunkenness, lawlessness. Murder is a regular occurrence. Just the other week, a woman was sentenced just to 3 years in prison for murdering another person and for taking their life. Think of the rise of false religion in our land. Ecumenism is pushing on with union with the system of Antichrist, of Roman Catholicism. Think of evolution, and evolution is a false religion, and it is being promoted more and more, especially aimed at our children, and it is a false religion from the devil. God is the creator. He is the one that you and I have to do with. Think of the rise of the cults and Islam. Just there on Friday past, in a large warehouse on Boucher Road that used to be owned by B&Q, hundreds of Muslims were gathering together for their Friday prayers. And my, that is a religion of Antichrist, that is anti-God and that is Antichrist. And such things are the symptoms, dear people, of the evil days and the evil age in which you and I live and find ourselves. And what are we to do as the people of God at such a time? We are to heed David's counsel in our text this morning. In verse 34, when he says, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it." As we would look here at these words, there are threefold encouragement for God's people in evil days. And it is this encouragement I want to set before you as God's people this morning. You'll notice, first of all, here that in this encouragement for evil days, that God's people are called to exercise a patient faith. Notice the words there, "Wait on the Lord." And throughout Scripture, God's people are continually called to wait upon the Lord. Think of the words of David in Psalm 27. He says, "Wait on the Lord." Think of the word of the Lord himself in the book of Zephaniah. He says, "Wait ye upon me, as saith the Lord." It has been said that patient waiting is often the highest way of doing God's will. Dear believer in Christ this morning, in this evil day in which you and I live, we are to wait upon the Lord. What does that mean? To wait upon the Lord means us listening attentively to God's word, to God's voice. Remember young Samuel, remember what he said. He said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." He wanted to hear the voice of God. It means us trusting God's word, taking God at his word as it stands in the Bible. You remember what the psalmist says? He says, "For I trust in thy word." The hymn writer says, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word." It also means, dear people, us being earnest and being faithful in the place of prayer. The book of James says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul there is addressing God's people. He's speaking to them about standing for God in the evil day. And in verse 18 of that chapter, he says these words, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication for the saints." Christian, let me say this morning, waiting upon the Lord and in this evil day, it means you and I as Christians giving ourselves to prayer. Yes, to private prayer in our daily lives, to family prayer and also public prayer. Christian, it means you being at your church prayer meeting on a Thursday night. And if reasons necessitate that you cannot get to the prayer meeting on a Thursday night, you should make it your business to be at the prayer meeting before the services on the Lord's Day. We live in an evil day, and it is only through prayer that the work of God will go forward and increase. You remember William Booth, and he was a man of God, blessed and used of God, the founder of the Salvation Army. And speaking about God's work, yes, he said this, "Work as if everything depended upon work." But he also went on to say, "Pray as if everything depended upon prayer." And how important prayer is, dear people, in these evil days in which we live. Also, waiting upon God means us keeping the Lord's Day as a day of worship. What is the fourth commandment? "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God." And in keeping the Sabbath day as a day of worship, we're to come to God's house morning and evening. We're to worship the Lord with our hearts, with our souls. The Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And also to wait upon the Lord means us rejoicing, dear people, in the Lord's salvation. It means us thanking the Lord for saving us, no matter how evil, no matter how dark the day is in which we live. This is how it was with Habakkuk of old. Turning your Bible over to the prophecy of Habakkuk away at the end of the Old Testament. You'll come to the book of Habakkuk, Daniel, Joel, Hosea, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3. And look at the words of the prophet in verses 17 and verses 18 of the chapter. He says, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength." Habakkuk, dear people, lived in an evil day, day of barrenness, day of dearth, day of declension. Yet in the midst of it all, he rejoiced in the Lord. He joyed in the God of his salvation. And that's what it is for you and I also as God's people, to wait upon the Lord, to joy in God, to rejoice in his saving grace and his keeping power, no matter how dark, no matter how evil the day is in which we live. Yes, in our text here this morning, in this encouragement for evil days, God's people are called to exercise a patient faith. In this day in which you and I live, dear believer, the Lord says to you and I, through our text here this morning, in Psalm 37, verse 34, he says, "Wait on the Lord, wait upon him who is our Lord, who is our God." Yes, God's people are to exercise a patient faith. But notice secondly here in this encouragement for evil days, God's people are called to persevere in the ways of God. Notice the next words in our text. It says, "and keep his way." Underline those words in your Bible. It does not say keep our way. It does not say keep man's way. It does not say keep the world's way. No, it says, "and keep his way." It says, keep the way of the Lord. In these evil days in which we live as believers, you and I, we are to keep the ways of the Lord. That's the way that we are to walk, and that's the way we are to persevere in. We are to persevere in the Lord's ways. Lo, people frown upon us. Lo, people should laugh at us and reproach us and mock us and scorn us. Lo, iniquity should abound. Lo, the love of many should wax cold. Lo, others should walk no more with us. Lo, others should oppose us or discourage us. We are not to turn back from the ways of the Lord, the way that God has set before us as his people. I were to be like David. David said, "My soul followeth hard after thee." He had much opposition to him in his Christian life, but he followed hard after God. Turn back to Job chapter 23 and look at the testimony of Job in verse number 12 of Job 23. And Job had many trials, he had many discouragements, many afflictions. But look at what he says to the Lord in verse 12 of Job 23. He says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips." That's the commandment of the Lord. "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Job says, "I have not gone back from the ways of God, the counsel of God, the statutes of God, the laws of the Lord, the word of God. Come with me." Job was cleaving and holding fast to the word of the Lord. And that's how it is to be with you, dear people, and with I as believers in Christ. Yes, it says here in our text this morning, and Psalm 37 and the verse 34 says, keep his way. What does it mean in essence? Keeping the way of the Lord means you and I obeying God's word. The Bible says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. By God's grace, we are to live out God's commandments. This is the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, something every Christian should thank God for. And what was it all about? It was about the word of God again coming before the people. Indeed, it was Martin Luther who said, before the word, everyone must give way. Also, keeping the way of the Lord, it means us as Christians living a holy life. The Lord says to us in 1 Peter 1, verse 15, he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. In his letter to the church at Thessalonica, Paul said, abstain from all appearances of evil. We are to turn away from all that we know which is evil and sinful. We're to seek by God's grace day by day in our Christian life, be it in the home, the workplace, the community, wherever we are, just to live for God, just to live for his honor, just to live for his glory. It means obeying God's word, it means living a holy life by God's grace. Keeping the way of the Lord, it means separation from false religion and worship that is contrary to God's word. We are not to worship together with the cults or with Roman Catholicism or with Hinduism or Islam, which is so much to the fore today. The Bible says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. We are to be separate in our worship from that which is contrary to the word of God. And also keeping the way of the Lord, it means us as Christians abiding in God's way, abiding in God's will for our lives. You remember the testimony of Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, who was given that task of finding a bride for Isaac. And what did he say? Listen to his words carefully. In Genesis 24, verse 27, he says, I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. He says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. He was persevering on in the pathway and the will of God for him at that particular time. Though there perhaps there was difficulties and twists and turns all along that road and finding a bride for Isaac, yet he persevered on in the will of the Lord and the way of God. And child of God, cleaving to God's way means you and I as Christians abiding in the will of God, abiding in the way of God for our lives. Something else here to note about keeping God's way, keeping the way of the Lord, means us continuing to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, in whatever way we can, in whatever way comes to our hand. It means us doing all we can, dear people, to spread the gospel, to spread the light of God's word, to seek the advancement of God's kingdom, and to witness for Christ, to tell others about our Savior, and to do all we can by our words and by our examples to point others to Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners. You remember what Paul said to the church at Corinth at the end of his first letter to them. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Oh, believer, in this evil day. And let me say this, the Bible makes it clear as this world draws to a close, the day in which you and I live, it's going to get worse. The Bible says evil men shall wax worse and worse as the coming of the Lord draws near. But what are we to do? We are to go on. We are to be abounding in the work of the Lord. This is God's will for your life, for my life. This is God's will for us as a congregation in this autumn season, to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. You remember Paul's counsel to the believers in Philippi. He spoke to them about holding forth the word of life in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, being lights for God. And that's what we're called to do, to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. We are to keep the way of the Lord. We are to wait upon the Lord. Notice finally here, in this encouragement for evil days, God's people are promised to be exalted by the Lord. Look at what David says in the latter part of our text. He says, "And he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see." What did David mean here? Well, this exaltation here involves the believer, first and foremost, being blessed on this earth. You remember the words of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, calling God's people back to the old paths of God's word? In Jeremiah 6, verse 16, he said this, "Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Jeremiah says God's way is the best way. It's the way of rest. It's the way of blessing. It's the good way for your soul, dear Christian. Child of God, when you wait on the Lord and when you keep his way, I tell you this, the Lord will bless you. The Lord will bless you in your life. What's the promise of God? And God cannot deny his word. He says, "Them that honor me, I will honor." And when you honor the Lord, he will bless you with his peace. The Bible says of the Lord, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." He will bless you with his provision. The psalmist could say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He will bless you with his contentment. The Bible says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." He will bless you with his protection. The psalmist says, "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in." He will bless you with his joy. The joy of the Lord shall be your strength. You will enjoy and be blessed through the presence of God in your life. For the Lord says to his people, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And in blessing you, dear Christian, the Lord will use you for his honor and glory. For did not the Lord say to his disciples, "Follow me, and I will make thee fishers of men"? This exaltation involves the believer being blessed on earth, but this exaltation also involves the believer's inheritance in heaven, being part of a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Turning your Bible over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and look with me please at verses 3 and 4 of the chapter. Here Peter was writing to Christians in great trial and great straits, but he reminds them of their inheritance, their exaltation in heaven. Look at what he says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Oh, believer, get a grasp of this today. This is what you have in Christ. In heaven you will have eternal life. Your soul will be perfect, free from all sin in heaven. And when your body rises from the grave at the return of Christ, it too will be perfect, immortal, and incorruptible. You will never again be affected or afflicted by sickness or sin or sorrow or heartbreak or death. Now your service for God in heaven will be perfect. You will be reunited with other saved loved ones who have gone on before. And in heaven you will have eternal, unbroken fellowship with Christ. Paul says, "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." What an exaltation awaits the saints of God. We were singing about it earlier on. The hymn writer says, "There shall we see his face, and never, never sin. There from the rivers of his grace, drink endless pleasures." And this is what lies before you, dear Christian. We'll be blessed on earth when we follow the Lord, no matter what happens. We have a great hope in heaven, no matter what happens when we follow the Lord. But notice something else here. This exaltation for the believer, it means the believer seeing the judgment of the ungodly. You see, in this life, what does God do? He cuts off the ungodly. He cuts off the evildoer. Look at how David spoke of that following our text in verses 35 and verses 38 following on from our text. He says, I have seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree, yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Verse 38, but the transgressor shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked, notice it, shall be cut off. You know, dear people, this is something we see daily in our life. God cuts off the evildoer. God cuts down the worker of iniquity. That is a fact of life. And when the Lord returns, we will see him overthrow all the workers of iniquity. We will see him cast them into hell, where they shall remain forever and ever and ever. The Bible says the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. And they will hear from the lips of Christ that most awful of sentences, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I knew you not, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You remember the counsel of Paul to the church at Thessalonica who were going through a difficult time. They were being oppressed by the ungodly, and Paul said this, unto you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. What an awful sentence. Child of God, dear believer in the meeting this morning, thank God in the depths of your soul today because of Christ saving you, because of God's saving grace in your life, because of Christ going and dying on the cross for you and shedding his blood for you, that you will never perish in your sin, in a lost sinner's hell. Thank God today for that in the depths of your soul. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. It says, he that hath the Son hath life. Oh Christian, thank God today that you'll never be judged for your sins in a lost sinner's hell, that you'll never enter into that lake of fire, a place of awful eternal judgment where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If there's one in the meeting this morning, you're still unsaved, let me make it clear to you, dear friend, man or woman, young person, boy or girl in the meeting, unsaved today, if you are to be delivered from the awful judgment of hell for your sins, if you are to be saved from the lake of fire, then now in time, there's something you must do. You must repent of your sins before God. You must confess your sins before God. Take the place as a sinner before God and thank the Lord Jesus Christ for dying on the cross to save you. And you must trust him, embrace him, take him to be your own and personal Savior. Call upon him to save you from your sins, to save you from a lost eternity in hell, for that's where you're going. If you're not saved, if you know not the Lord in this meeting this morning as your Savior, the Bible speaks of Christ and says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Man or woman, young person, boy or girl not saved, be wise today. Be wise this morning. Lift up your heart in prayer to God. Confess your sins to the Lord. And by faith alone, by simple faith, ask the Lord to save your soul, to wash away your sins. And he'll not turn you away.
He'll take you in. He will save you. He will keep you. He will bless you. He will use you for His glory. And one day He'll take you into heaven's kingdom, into heaven itself, to be with the Lord forevermore.